Let's turn together to the gospel reading for today. It is Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, beginning reading at verse 17. So if you and I are reading the book of Mark, we know that it's important for Jesus to be on this road, on this path, on this journey to Jerusalem, where he will fulfill his mission to be a suffering Messiah. Now, Israel wants a Messiah, but they're not ready for a suffering one, and the disciples are in the same boat. And along the way, especially in this section, there are situations where people are shown things that get in the way. And right before our text is the section of the little children and Jesus, and the disciples saying, these folks are getting in the way. And Jesus says, no, to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. You need to have a heart that is open just like one of these little ones. And in this particular text, we have a person who should, by all counts, be a shoo-in for the kingdom. He's humble, he bows before Jesus, he's curious, he's a seeker. And in Mark's gospel, this is the only person who is sent away or who goes away after being called to be a disciple. And the question that that I find myself looking at this past week was a couple of things. One is, why is this man running? All the other gospel writers don't present him that way. And if this is an important enough story for Matthew, Mark, and Luke to tell, Matthew talks about him being rich and or a ruler, and Luke talks about him being young, but all three of them talk about him being wealthy. But this particular gospel shows Jesus as having immense love for him. And I think the question for us today is to think about, why is this man running? What's he running to? What's he running away from? What are those things that could be hindrances for any of us? What are those things that get in the way of us joining Jesus along the way? And I think that's the prodding, that's the invitation of this text, to be asking ourselves, I wonder what that is for us as we think about what it means to follow him. Let's pray, and then let's read together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you for the stories that have been passed down through the ages to us. And now we pray today that you would give us the freedom to hear your word afresh. Its challenge and its hope, its grace and its call, because we are those who are curious or interested or passionate. And we can't help but be in the neighborhood of you today. So as we find ourselves here, we pray for your spirit to move, touch, and shape us afresh. Let your word do its good work in us. And we pray that you would help us to be faithful as we hear it, as we speak it, and as we seek to live it. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As Jesus started on his way, which is Mark's language for the road or the path or the journey, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus answered him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." And Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." And with this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." Now the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said it again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Now the disciples were even more amazed, and they said to each other, "Well, who then can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Then Peter spoke up, "We have left everything to follow you." "Truly, I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. So one thing that we learn if we are trying to follow Jesus or if we are curious about him is that Jesus never gives us what we expect. In the Gospels, he seems to always surprise us, and maybe that is your and my experience in life, that when we are in the orbit of Jesus, it seems like we are always learning something, that there's something that we did not expect. In the previous section, Jesus gathers with little children, and the disciples did not get what they expect. And when I was reading that this week, I was reminded about a surprise some of the kids of this church had for me, a cardboard cutout with some artwork and some gifts on it and some nice words and thank you to the gems. And I was surprised by that. And I was reminded of pastors have collections of kids' artwork that we treasure. Sometimes we don't always understand it, but we treasure it. And I'm mindful of a conversation that I had with another community pastor just a few weeks ago who was telling me about some artwork he had received. He was preaching on a sermon on the river of life, and he finished that sermon, and a little girl presented him with a piece of artwork, and it had animals on it, and it had trees, and it had this hot pink line right through the middle of it. And he said, "What is that? What is that stripe there? I can't quite figure that out." She said, "You talked about it this morning. It's the river of life. It's a river of pink lemonade." And he was very pastoral and said, "Thank you." And he took it and he pinned it up on his board, and the little girl ran away. And then it was Friday of that week that the staff was working, and there was a Bible study meeting, and there were some people praying. And a delivery man came to the door, and he said, "My company has got some overstocks, and we're going to local churches, and we're dropping some of it off if you've got a food pantry. Do you have a food pantry?" "Yes, we do." "Well, where can I put it?" And they said, "Well, how about right in the hallway?" And he said, "Okay." And about an hour later, the staff came out, and they were blown away. There were 3 pallets of goods that this man left behind. And when the pastor took a look at what was there, it was three pallets from Old Orchard, and it was pink lemonade. And as the pastor retold that story to me, he said, I was so convicted in that moment because so often we are dismissive, or he said, I am dismissive, and I don't take seriously the conversations that I have or the input of some others. And once again, God is reminding me of some of the barriers and hindrances that aren't out there, but that are right here. And I didn't expect it. So Jesus is blessing little children and saying, do not hinder them, for to such the kingdom of heaven belongs. And shortly after that, as he went on his way, a man ran up to him. He ran up to him and he demonstrated the posture of discipleship, of submission, of yielding. He demonstrated a curiosity about the gospel. He demonstrated that he was a faithful Israelite, probably since he was 13, fulfilling the requirements of the law and knowing them deeply in his bones. He came with the right spirit, and he didn't challenge Jesus. And what does the text tell us about Jesus' response? Jesus loved him, and not just with the kind of love that he had for children, but the word that's used here is, it's an embracing kind of love. He loves the man. But then he gives those five verbs that cause the man's heart to break. It's go, sell, give, come, follow. Those are the words. Go, sell, give, come, follow. And the text tells us that he goes away sad because he had so much that he was yet holding on to. Now this morning, I want to encourage us to take these words of this text and lift them into our own experience. And I want you to wonder with me this morning. The gospel does not tell us any more about this man. But I want you to wonder with me, do you think he ever had a turnaround? Do you ever wonder if there was a day sometime later when Jesus was walking along the road where this man had some kind of change of heart? And I want you to think about that this morning, because maybe that's different than we usually think about how these stories work. But think about this morning, because there's a lot riding on this, because we are that man. And if we are going to read this faithfully, we need to consider the possibility that in Mark's gospel, everyone who is curious about Jesus and everyone who's following him by the end of the book ends up running away. Everyone who follows him says, it's too much. I don't know if I can do it. So the call of this text is to recognize when wealth and possessions and stuff is getting in the way. And for this man, in one isolated snapshot, this is a moment in which he realizes that discipleship costs way too much. And if we're another disciple, we may be convicted by what is it that I am holding on to or that I run to or run away from that gets in the way of me getting on the path with Jesus and following him wherever he goes. Because it will be something for all of us. In the text, family shows up. How easy it is for us to put family and relationships in a way that can interfere with the call of the kingdom. For Peter, it's bravado and self-importance and doing important things in the kingdom. That is the thing that Peter will have to lay down, and it's going to take time for him to do that. He's not going to do that right away. It's going to take a continued journeying with Jesus, sometimes close, sometimes far away, before Peter, we realize by the end of his life and by the end of the Gospels, that Peter seems to finally be ready to let go and follow Jesus. But it takes time. And the Gospels, especially the Gospel of Mark, is it takes time for everybody. And I think it takes time for you and for me. Because there are things in our lives that we are not yet ready to let go of. Does following you really mean this much? And the gospel paints over all of that with, and Jesus loved him. Jesus loved them. Jesus loves us. But the point of the gospel is to say, what are you holding on to? What's holding you? What do you find yourself continually running away from? Or what is it that you're running toward? Because these things become hindrances, obstacles, barricades, impediments as we are trying to walk the walk of discipleship. So again, the disciples are overwhelmed. If this guy can't be saved, if he can't inherit the kingdom, well, who can? Isn't that the point of the gospel? We can't. What's humanly impossible is possible with God's miracles. And the miracle might be you and me letting go of something that we treasure. Do we really lay this at his feet if we are on the journey? Well, part of the call is to do that, and it may take time. How many of us are where we were 5 years ago in our walk with Christ? I would hope that we're farther along, that we're letting go of things, but we're in process. Many of us don't do it overnight. These things take time. So if there's hope for this man, this story that's told somewhere off in the future, that perhaps he might have a turning, that he might be more readied when he experiences the gospel to let go, then there might be hope for some of us too. The call of the gospel is the same. For right here, right now, the invitation to live a Christ-centered, Christ-purposed life is right here, right now. But like the disciples then, many of us are afraid. Many of us are holding on to certain things for security. Many of us are uncertain. Welcome to the gospel according to Mark. Because in Mark's gospel, only Jesus and the demons have him figured out who he is and what he's about. And what we need to do is get to the end of that gospel, where there's the full outpouring of God's love on the cross, where we can possibly say, oh, that's what it's about. It's about, includes suffering, includes persecution, includes hardship. And now that I see the full outpouring of the gospel, now that I see what the text really means when it says, but Jesus loved him. Jesus loved him with a full kind of love. And this man's story is not done. Let's hope not, because our story is not yet done. And there's still time in this journey of discipleship with him to figure out what that looks like and what it's calling us to and what it's calling us to release. And the ways in which it's calling us to stop running and to walk the journey with Jesus. Jesus doesn't passionately run to the cross. Jesus isn't filled with ambition. Jesus is not filled with ego or self-centeredness. In fact, when the man says to him, "Good teacher, don't look at me," Jesus' claims for himself in the Gospels are always so small compared to what we say about him. And it's a gospel that we would not expect. Discipleship takes time. And I want to say to us this morning, I think it takes a lifetime. So if you're not satisfied with where things are with you, with God and community right now, there's still time. But there's the invitation to do something about it. What is it that a text like this prompts or provokes in us that I'm still holding on to, that I don't want to let go of? I know I should join him on the journey, but I love running after this. This is so important to me in my life. And every time I encounter Jesus along the way, he's reminding me that I'm giving way too much ultimate significance and putting too much time and energy and worry into this. And it's getting in the way of who he's calling me to be. So that whether he's rich or young or important, that's not as important as Jesus loved him. And Jesus is more than willing to continue to weaving impossible miracles in his life and in your life and in my life, because you and I can always listen to a text like this and say, well, the man has lots of possessions and lots of wealth, but that's not me, because I know at least five people who are wealthier than me. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's fears. Maybe it's lifestyle. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's possessions. But the invitation is the same, to hear the call from the one who gives us what we would not expect. I wouldn't expect to come to a text like this week and hear that little line, "And Jesus loved him." And that line, I think, makes all of the difference. It makes all of the difference in your life, in my life. It makes all of the difference because we may have a laundry list of things that someone has done to us, or mistakes that we have made, or places where we're embarrassed or ashamed. And all of that does not count where Jesus' love is operative. Jesus who continues to surprise. Jesus who says, "And the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Why is this? Because of the bottomless, endless love of God that has drawn Jesus to this pathway, to this journey himself, where he continues to invite people to join drinkly out of the waters of the river of life, the pink lemonade of life, of God's surprising gifts along the way, where he keeps showing us things we need to learn about ourselves and the things we need to let go of in order to wholeheartedly follow him. So whatever that is today, maybe I should start with, figure out whatever that is today. What are those things for you and for me? And give yourself some time to lay those at his feet and to say, "I'm ready to follow." He said, "Let this stuff go. It's not important to me anymore because I've looked into your eyes and I've seen that you love me. And that's far more important than everything that I've been chasing and everything that's held me and everything that I've given myself to. and I want to stop running, and I want to follow. That's the news of the gospel this morning. He looked at him, and he loved him. He looked at you, and he loves you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dear God, as we gather in this place today, we are mindful of all of the places where we are not yet ready to be a disciple. And we pray that you will help us to live in your love in such a way that the miracle happens where we let go. It is impossible with us, but it is possible with you. So show us the way to the way. Help us to stop our running. Help us to let go. Help us to claim your kingdom not as an inheritance, but to receive it as little children. So today, awaken in us all of the barriers and obstacles that we have put and that have been put in front of us that stop us from yielding. And we pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that your refreshing and renewing love would change everything for us, no matter where we find ourselves on the journey. For some of us, deepen our curiosity because we're not sure. For others of us, deepen our conviction. For others of us, convict us again of all the ways, like the first disciples, that we think that we have this covered, and where we come to new realization that we have not yet been wholehearted in our following. So hold us and keep us in your love, and let our lives be a living testimony to who you are. We pray it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.